Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and call the Senate Committee on Judiciary to order. It's Monday morning. Thank you very much for being here. We have a number of bills up for public hearing and possible work sessions, plus some work sessions. And Senator Wissett is in the room on which one?
SB 161.
All right. So let's go ahead and call a public hearing on Senate Bill 161. And Chana?
Certainly, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. Senate Bill 161 comes to you from Senator Wissett. In Oregon, counties are authorized to collect taxes for personal business properties, such as machinery, equipment, furniture, books, and non-inventory supplies used in a business. SB 161 requires sellers to give notice to buyers of non-personal business property of any liens that may be against the property, and sets up a structure for relieving a bona fide purchaser from tax delinquency that carries over from a former owner. It also allows the tax collector to send notice of an electronic warrant to the Secretary of State and sets up a public access system similar to that for financing statements.
All right, thank you. Senator Wissett, thank you for being here. Why don't you lead off?
Thank you, Chair Przanski. For the record, I'm Senator Doug Wissett, representing District 28. For the record, I'm not imitating James Earl Jones this morning, and statistically, I'm not contagious from this distance.
I was going to say, it sounded like a frog in the throat there, so.
Mm-hmm. The problem that we are attempting to address is seemingly simple, Mr. Chair. Under current law, Oregon personal property taxes follow the property ownership. In the event that personal property tax is not paid, a personal property tax lien is attached to that property, and it goes forward with the ownership of that property. That lien, as well as any accumulated penalties and interest, are payable by whomever owns the property. Currently, when a personal property item is purchased, there is no existing adequate way for the purchaser to determine if an existing personal property tax lien is attached. The tax lien may or may not be recorded in the county where the tax was incurred. Further, no method currently exists to search the other 35 Oregon counties for the existence of a personal property tax lien on the equipment. This situation almost always occurs during the purchase of used business equipment. Once the personal property is acquired, the new owner is liable for all unpaid personal property taxes on the equipment, as well as all accumulated penalties and interest. An example might help to clarify the problem. This is just purely fictitious. But say a Lane County resident purchases a metal lathe at auction in Deschutes County. The previous owner of the metal lathe is a resident of Malheur County, where he has failed to pay personal property taxes on the metal lathe. Malheur County has established a tax lien on the metal lathe, and that property tax lien may or may not be properly recorded in Malheur County, but it certainly is not recorded in Deschutes or Lane County. Nevertheless, the new owner of the lathe incurs the liability when he buys the lathe to pay the unpaid personal property taxes as well as all accrued penalties and interest. The solution turned out to be a little more complex. We worked extensively with the Department of Revenue, the Secretary of State, county clerks, county tax collectors, and legislative council to craft this solution. So what Senate Bill 161 does, it creates a searchable property tax lien file in the Office of the Secretary of State. It authorizes, but does not require, county tax collectors to file the personal property tax lien with the Secretary of State. It requires the seller of personal property to actually disclose unpaid personal property taxes or the existence of a personal property tax lien on the equipment. And then the heart of this, it provides that if a good faith search for a tax lien fails to discover the tax lien, the purchaser falls under the bona fide purchaser provisions of Oregon tax law and does not owe the back taxes, penalties, and interest. It provides that the owner of the property at the time of the unpaid tax was levied remains liable for those taxes. The bill also authorizes partial settlement payments to be negotiated between current owner of the county and the county tax collector. So if you have an existing tax lien, right now, the county tax collector cannot negotiate with the person who has acquired the property without knowing there was a tax lien on it, not owes a tax, they are not allowed to negotiate that payment down. This will allow them to do that regardless of whether a settlement agreement is reached with the new owner. The owner of the property at the time the property tax lien was established still owes the tax. And finally, in the event that the tax collector is successful in collecting the full amount of the tax and interest and penalties from the original person who had the tax lien, then any settlement amount with the new owner would be refunded to them. Mr. Chair, committee members, we believe that this bill resolves a long-standing inequity in Oregon tax law. No one should be forced to pay taxes incurred by someone else. Certainly, they should not be forced to pay those taxes when there is no adequate way to determine if taxes, interest, and penalties are owed prior to the purchase. Mr. Chair, I would be remiss in not thanking Legislative Counsel Alan Dale for his exceptional effort on this measure. If you have particular questions regarding the tax law, he is in the room today. He's my lifeline.
All righty.
We urge you to move this bill to the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee with a due pass recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you. It sounds like we actually may have a second lifeline in the room as well from the Secretary of State's office, so we'll see if we need to pull or make those phone calls or not. So questions for Senator Wissett? Doug, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Well, we have four people that are scheduled to testify, or at least signed up. I'm going to go ahead and ask Bob Voroman and Josh Gibson if you two would come forward since you're both accessors, and then we'll bring in the other two after that, and we'll see who else might want to testify. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, my name is Bob Roman. I'm the Clackamas County Assessor and also the past president of both the Assessors Association and the Tax Collectors Association. I'm here today in support of this bill. I want to thank Senator Wissett and his staff and all of the other stakeholders that were involved in looking at this process in the interim. I think it creates an environment where a business property owner can have some confidence level that when they acquire property, they've had an adequate means to be able to determine if there are any delinquent personal property taxes owing. So I think that that's a very positive result of this. I also believe that it adds a tool to the tax collectors as well as assessors in order to be able to administer business personal property taxes and their collection. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. And Josh?
Mr. Chair, committee members, I'm Josh Gibson, the Jackson County Assessor. This came to me, it came out of Jackson County between personal property that transferred from Jackson County to Josephine County. I sent out a letter to Senator Wissett, and he got all the interested stakeholders involved, and I believe this is a good solution to the problem that exists, and I have nothing else to add.
All right, well, thank you. Questions for anyone on the panel? Gentlemen, again, thank you very much for being here.
Senator Jeffrey Zenz, can I just add one thing? And again, I just wanted to say thank you to, again, not only Senator Wissett, but there were a lot of collaborators on this bill. We had people from the Secretary of State's office. We had people from the clerk's office. We had the assessors. We have the tax collectors. And I think this has been a really positive process. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it sounds like you had a good work group and got a good product here. So thank you all for your assistance. The other two people I have listed here is Diane Belk and the Jan Meekums. Why don't y'all come forward? As they're coming forward, is there anyone else who's going to want to testify on Senate Bill 161? Ladies, thank you very much for being here. Whoever would like to lead off, go for it.
I'll start. Senator Przanski and committee members, for the record, my name is Diane Belk. I am the president of the Tax Collectors Association. It's kind of fun to be in front of a different committee for once. Kind of interesting. I would really also like to echo what Bob Roman said as far as Senator Wissett bringing this forward. I've been doing this for an awful long time, and I can tell you that this has been a problem because personal property taxes are very different than real property taxes in that it's a lien against the equipment as well as a personal debt. So it does happen. The laws kind of tie our hands as to how we can deal with these. For many years, I've always thought we should be able to record in the UCC records. Basically, when you get a transaction that I call goes south, it's somebody that gets a bill from the county and that just purchased the equipment and there's delinquent taxes. Well, we checked UCC. Well, that's fine, but you have to check in the county where the equipment is located with the county clerk. And that warrant is important because it also opens up the door for us for other collection activity. But being able to record in the UCC file puts it out there statewide for people to go look. There's also some other provisions in the bill that's a really good thing for our business owners to give them a little bit due diligence and they know where to look. And it also affords the tax collector a little leeway in trying to work with some of these problems. But the big thing it does is it does kind of give us a bona fide purchaser process, which real property has, but personal property never has. So the tax collectors are very supportive of this bill, and thank you very much for hearing it today.
Well, thank you. And let's see, Jan.
Thank you, Chair Prozanski and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jan Meekums. I'm the state director for NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. We have about 7,000 small business, independent businesses in the state of Oregon, throughout the state, and in every conceivable type of enterprise. And I was privileged to be able to work with the work group on this bill, and it was a result. We did have a member that was adversely impacted by the current status, where they bought a piece of equipment and it had a tax debt that was not divulged by the seller. They moved it to another county, and they would have had, they had no way to check to see if there was a warrant on that piece of property, and it ended up, it's been quite a process for them to deal with. So we are very much in support of this bill, and I again applaud the process. It was a great group of stakeholders from both the state level and private level that came together and created what we feel is a very win-win piece of legislation. It should help in collection on delinquent taxes on personal property, but it also gives the business owner an avenue when they purchase a piece of property to make sure that it is coming to them without a warrant for delinquent taxes. So NFIB urges your support of this bill. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Again, any questions for anyone? Yeah, Senator Thatcher.
Thank you. Hey, I've always wanted to know why it's called personal property taxes when it's usually only businesses that have to pay it. So maybe you could explain that as a tax collector person.
Well, personal property is also personal property manufactured home. If you have a manufactured home on land that's rented, you don't own, and most of those are in a park, that's personal property. In our county, we do refer to it as business personal property or manufactured personal property, but in the statute it's just called personal property.
Thank you. I always wondered.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's you kind of think about why would that be different, but it's not attached per se to the land. Mm-hmm. And then you, of course, with equipment, that's actual personal property that can be moved to unless it becomes a fixture, I guess. Mm-hmm. All right, any other questions? Thank you very much. Again, I'll just ask, was there anyone else who wanted to give testimony on Senate Bill 161? Not seeing anyone, will close the public hearing. And today we're going to work with a script on Senate Bill 161. I do want to put on the record that there has been some testimony that has been handed in. We do have it at the dais here from Sharon and Larry Rydell, who are also looking at the benefits of Senate Bill 161. So that's within the OLIS system, I'm assuming. All right, so with that, we'll go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 161. Senator Cruz?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 161 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Finance and Revenue by prior reference.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 161 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Finance and Revenue by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And I don't think we need to do carry on this since it's going to go down to revenue. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 161. And we will now get to my script. Open up our public hearing on Senate Bill 358. Chana?
Chair Prasansky, members of the committee, Senate Bill 358 is a judiciary-drafted bill. It removes the requirement that modification of agency rules, which merely change the name of the agency due to a statutory change, change the name of the program, correct spelling or grammatical mistakes, etc., can be filed with the Legislative Council and do not have to undergo extensive review by Legislative Council. It is ready to move today. It has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and no amendments.
Wonderful. Lisa?
Yes. Thank you, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee. Good morning. I'm Belissa Seidlick, Deputy Legislative Counsel, and our office asks that this bill be introduced to address two issues that arise in the context of our responsibilities to review all state agency administrative rules. And the first issue is a timing issue. As you know, our office is statutorily charged with reviewing rules to check into constitutional infirmities and to make sure that they comply with the enabling legislation. However, as a courtesy, our office will also send out quite frequently what we call 10-day letters. And what these letters do is they advise, in accordance with 183.715, that we, our office, actually received copies of their rules or their amendments before the date on which the Secretary of State received them. And 183.715 states that copies of rules are supposed to be provided to our office 10 days after the rules are submitted to the Secretary of State. Now, unfortunately, 183.335, subsection 11, states that if copies aren't submitted to our office in compliance with this 10-day requirement, the rule is invalid. So even though our office is not required to do so, as a courtesy, oftentimes the agency doesn't know we've received copies before they were filed with the Secretary of State. So as a courtesy, we advise them that we did receive them before this date, and the rule is invalid, and they should consult with their counsel to determine how to proceed. So what the amendment to 183.715 does in Senate Bill 358 is it changes this 10-day requirement to 10 days of the date on which the document, the rules are filed with the Secretary of State. So it can be 10 days before or 10 days after. And this will really solve a lot of problems for the state agencies who it's either due to the mail delivery system or just over diligence on the part of the agency. It's not a substantive issue. The second issue that the bill addresses is there is a provision in 183.335, subsection 7, that allows state agencies to adopt amendments to rules that are non-substantive without going through the whole notice, hearing, and public comment process. And it lists in the statute what kind of non-substantive amendments those are. And those are things like where the commission or an agency name or a program name has been changed by law, where a statute has been updated and renumbered to correct spelling and grammatical errors. Unfortunately, the statute does not say they don't have to provide our office copies. And quite frequently, an agency will just all of a sudden do a whole bunch of this, so we will get reams of paper that are non-substantive changes to rules. So the amendment to 183.715 in this bill would provide that they don't have to provide copies to our office. And that's basically what the bill does, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you for the explanation. Questions? I don't see any. Let me ask if there's anyone else who would like to testify today on Senate Bill 358. Not seeing anyone run up here, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 358.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 358.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 358 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 358 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And let's see. Senator Burdick, if you'd be so kind to carry 358, that'd be great.
Happy to do it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
So, with the usual proviso.
Yeah, got it. I might be carrying it, in other words. All right, so with that, we'll...
She's going to make that work a lot for her, you know.
Oh, she always does. We'll go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 358, and we're going to go ahead and open up our public hearing on Senate Bill 402.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 402 is another Judiciary Committee-sponsored bill. This one allows an affiant in a small estate proceeding to open a deposit account with the decedent's funds for the purpose of paying claims and expenses of the estate. It specifies that financial institutions are not liable to any person for the affiant's use of those funds, nor is the institution responsible for ensuring the funds are used properly. We have the proposed dash one amendments before you, which take out one misplaced word. We have the revenue impact statement and the fiscal impact statement with the dash one amendments, and this bill may be ready to move today.
Okay, thank you very much. So, Tim, it looks like you're up at the top, and then Dell, are you going to also testify? All right. Tim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Here on behalf of the Oregon Bankers Association, as well as the Oregon Community Banks Association of Oregon, first of all, I have no lifeline, so you'll have to just deal with me. And you are stuck with me. I apologize. Our counsel, Ken Sherman, who many of you have heard testify before, for some reason ended up at the Biltmore in Arizona today. I'd rather switch places with him, but here I am.
It is what it is.
Anyway, your counsel did a great job of really talking about what the bill is trying to do. For those of you that may not remember, a small estate is anything with $200,000 or less of real property and $75,000 or less of personal property. So they're fairly small estates. They're generally have a will with a family member that is responsible for taking care of the estate, but in many cases they don't, and then the family member comes and steps up and tries to help close the last debts and pay off everything. The problem that we've seen is that, you know, banks, for those of you that remember Mr. Bronner, this would be a belts and suspenders type legislation. We want to make sure there's nothing in the law right now that says we can open up these accounts unless the individual brings in occasionally what's called letters testamentary, and that's what happens when you formally open an account or open a probate, excuse me. These are expensive. It takes time to do that. And since these accounts are so small, most banks or most individuals do not want to go through that process. So we kind of have a chicken and the egg whether or not the bank feels comfortable opening the account. So what happens many times is somebody comes in, opens the account, and does not say where the funds come from, because these are the decedent's funds. These aren't the individual that opens up the account. So we believe it's a simple bill. There is a typo on page 2. We believe it's a typo. We certainly did not ask for it. Page 2, line 21, we would ask that the committee delete pay in that line. And last thing I would say, I've been talking with the Land Title Association lobbyist. He has some issues that he may like to add and piggyback onto this bill. We've talked. I've promised and committed to work with him in the House should the Senate feel appropriate to pass this bill. So we would like to do it there if it's okay with the chair, if the bill is ready to go today. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you. Questions? Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wants to testify today on Senate Bill 402? Not seeing anyone wanting to do so, so I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on 402. Now, I understand we now have the dash one.
Correct.
And that does what Tim has put on the record, just deletes the one word. So we'll go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 402.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 402.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 402. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 402 as amended by the dash one amendment to Senate floor to do pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 402 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Again, discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And Senator Cruz, will you be our carrier on 402?
Sure.
Senator Cruz will be the carrier. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 402. And we're going to take a moment here. And we're going into our work sessions. And it looks like, from my reading of my notes, we'll start off with Senate Bill 367, opening up work session. Chana?
Chair Prasansky, members of the committee, you heard Senate Bill 367 last week. This deals with who is responsible for homeowner assessments when a home is in the redemption period or a condo is in the redemption period. We have the proposed dash one amendments, which clarify that it is the person, the certificate holder, the person using and enjoying the residence who is responsible for those assessments. We now have all of the paperwork on this, and we are ready to go.
All right, Senator Cruz.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 367.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendment into Senate Bill 367. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
Just to clarify, this takes away the joint and several liability. Clarify that. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or comments? Any objection to the motion? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 367 as amended by the dash one amendment, Senate floor to do pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz now moves Senate Bill 367 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And let's see, on this one here, Senator Thatcher, will you be so kind to carry 367?
Be happy to.
And we'll close the work session with Senate Bill 367. And we're now going to go ahead and open up a work session on 471.
Correct. We're skipping 381.
Right. And we'll go over that in a second. So we'll open up the work session on 471.
Senator Prasansky, members of the committee, Senate Bill 471 comes to us from Senator Denborough. As you may recall, this allows the appointment of counsel for persons in a protective proceeding. We have the proposed dash three amendments, which remove the language that makes appointment necessary when a protected person objects to the appointment. It also makes a few clarifying changes. In further discussion with fiscal, we decided that a light statement should be issued, and we should send this down to Ways and Means for some further look at the fiscal.
All right. Okay, so at this point, Senator Cruz.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendment to Senate Bill 471.
Senator Cruz moves the dash three amendments into Senate Bill 471. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 471 as amended by the dash three amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 471 as amended by the dash three amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And that one will not need to have a carrier since it's going down to Ways and Means. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 471. And regarding Senate Bill 381, which was on our agenda today, we're holding that because there was some additional work that's being done, from my understanding. So it's not ready for prime time yet.
Chair, that's the problem. If you give lawyers too much time, they're always going to find something else.
That's right. That's why we will put a deadline on this. And sometimes it seems to make things happen. But with that, I don't think we have anything else for today. Tomorrow, remember, we do not have morning hearings, but instead we'll be doing a field trip and informational hearing out at DPSST. I believe it's scheduled to start at 3. I know Chana has been working on transportation for those who wanted to go through a carpool type, or if not, please, if you're going on your own, please make certain that you're there by 3 o'clock so we can get started, because we're on a tight time frame.
And Mr. Chair, I'll be late. I'm chairing a hearing at the same time, so we'll get through what's on our agenda, and I'll come over as soon as we're
finished. That'd be great. Okay.
I'll try not to talk too long, so we should be able to get through.
It's always a problem.
But I know there are some here at the dais that are waiting to show their marksmanship, and so we will want to make certain.
Mr. Chair, I apologize for not being there, but I do have a little work group in the president's office tomorrow afternoon, so I kind of need to be at that thing. So.
Understand. Okay. All right. With that, we're adjourned for the day, and we'll be back here and on Wednesday with the field trip tomorrow at DPSST. Thank you.